Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys Podcast. My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for I Protect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Mobile, Alabama. Parade first team All-American, Rivals five-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome the incomparable Mr. Bradley Flowers. How are you, Bradley?
Great, Scott. How are you?
Best I've ever been. I have a live podcast guest today, Bradley. It's like Christmas morning.
Stepping into the lion's den.
I'm telling you what, anytime I get somebody here live and in person, after I go in the bathroom and snort six lines of cocaine, I am ready to do some podcasting, brother. Now, how many is this today, Bradley? Five? Five podcasts?
This is number five. Yeah, I told you six, but it was five. It felt like six.
Yeah. No, we're about to go get some dinner tonight here and shortly. Bradley, I got to tell you something. I got something on my heart right now. Best lunch I've ever had today. Ever. And I've eaten a lot of lunches in 52 years. I've eaten the rectangle pizza with the corn at public high school, middle school, elementary school. I've eaten MREs in the field and
man,
military.
When Hurricane Ivan hit in 2004, we got a bunch of MREs. Some of those MREs are pretty good.
Not so bad, are they?
See, I got a question for you guys. What is an MRE?
Meal ready to eat.
Oh, already.
Yeah. It's a plastic bag.
It's a brown plastic bag.
I mean, it's thick plastic because they say those things can last like 56 years. It's the other thing that those things do that many people don't know is however they put them together, what they put in them is engineered so that you don't have to go to the bathroom very often. Number two, because remember, you know, you're in the field in the military. So
this is all for the military food then, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So I got one quick story here.
Okay.
So I was a contractor for the DOD for a couple years. In the military cafeterias, they label all the different foods and drinks, whether this is a high-performance food, low-performance food, and, you know, for those going downrange of the foods, actually, they try and feed everyone pretty well. But they had one food that was labeled high-performance food for the warrior athlete. What do you think that was?
Now, I was in the Marine Corps from May of 95 to May of 99, so I did 4 years, and two of those years I was in the fleet, which is the real Marine Corps, not the other bullshit, but
feel like it's going to be something that
I think it's going to be
bad. We didn't guess it.
I think it's going to be spaghetti.
So black coffee.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You know, my favorite thing about the MREs, because I was a kid then, was it came with the little bitty bottles of Tabasco sauce.
Yep.
It comes with a Tabasco sauce. It's like this big.
It's a baby.
It's just enough for your scrambled eggs or whatever.
That's right. Guys, I got a very special guest today. And without further ado, I want to give him the introduction that he's always deserved. Ladies and gentlemen, he was born in Louisville, Kentucky, and raised in Annandale, Virginia. He currently resides in Austin, Texas. I love Austin, Texas. I've been there three or four times now in the last two or three years, and I've always enjoyed going to Austin. A little sketch, but I like sketch, obviously. Has a beautiful wife. Her name is Jenna, and they have one beautiful baby, Rex, who is 7 months old. He is a graduate of the University of Virginia with a BS in systems engineering. This is work history here. Guys, resume of success, pretty damn impressive here. 2015 and 16, he was a technology consultant at Palantir, had two very large insurance clients in that position. 2020 and 2021, he worked for Aon. And from 2021 to 2024, he is the founder that launched QuoteWell, building a modern wholesale brokerage driven by top insurance professionals using technology and artificial intelligence to deliver superior service. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today to introduce to you first-time guest on the IGP, Mr. Joey Bouchard. How are you, Joey?
Doing great, Scott. Also, great to meet you in person for the first time.
Yep.
Bradley and I have actually met Yeah. A handful of times in person already. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're proud to have you here, brother. You have got a wealth and breadth of insurance knowledge. I know you mentioned in your bio that we couldn't talk about the companies that you worked for and really your first job, but I can't wait at dinner to hear a little bit more about that. Those we particular.
We should start an OnlyFans. Stick with me.
Okay.
Where we sell the rights to all of the in-between conversations.
Can I sell feet pics?
We could do that as well. That could be an upsell.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been telling you for years we ought to do a, what do you call that? The other one that everybody does, the comedians do called, I'll think about it here in a minute.
Patreon.
I think a Patreon to do that would be fantastic, where we just can cut it loose. Like, I can say stuff I could never say.
Some podcast, the before and after conversation, it's like, man, if we could put this out there, it'd make a lot of enemies, but this would be really insightful.
Yeah, a lot of comedians have been doing Patreon for a few years now, and apparently it does pretty well.
You need to do Cameo, where you just people pay you $10 to do an intro for them.
100%.
Like, record their...
How much do you think I should charge for that?
I think you could charge $30.
I was going to say...
$30? I don't want to do that shit for $30.
But if you get 10 in a day...
What about $200? You think they'd pay $200 for an intro?
Scott will give you $100 at the end of this if you do an intro that I can reuse. Now, also, I will say that...
Yeah. Well, for you, I'll do it for free, but right. You know what I mean.
Let's do 120 and slide me 20. I'll pimp him out.
Oh, my gosh. Done. Yeah.
That's what a good agent does right there.
Yeah.
So Bradley's officially turned into my pimp now. Official title. I should get business cards.
Well, you know, my Twitter Scott's for a long pimp. Time said, had my resume, and it said at the end, Scott Howell's publicist.
And handler.
Because sometimes I feel like his publicist. Yeah. Like, hey, you can't do this. You right. don't need to say, hey, that tweet you just tweeted, you know, whatever.
So... Joey, let's talk a little bit about insurance just in general and how you got into it. I want to get in my DeLorean for just a moment. Let's go back in time. Talk to our audience today. We've got 250,000 insurance agents, no pressure, listening to this podcast. And I want them to get kind of a flavor of where you came from and then just kind of bring us up to today.
Awesome. Well, you know, I think with a lot of people, you fall into the industry either by accident or by family. And for me, it's a little bit of both. So I grew up and my dad started a fish, bait and tackle store, that eventually turned into a pawn shop when I was about 1 year old. So I ended up working there on weekends from when I was six onward, and go figure, pawn shop is typically falls into E&S
for sure.
And so when my dad started the business though, he went to one of his best buddies from high school, local insurance agent, one of the smartest guys in the high school, and said, hey, we'll call him Bill for right now. Yeah. But hey, Bill, can you get me my insurance for my fishing store and pawn shop? And Bill said, no, I can't. He didn't really understand why. Turns out it's because, you know, he didn't have an E&S license and, you know, wasn't as familiar going through different MGAs or wholesale brokers for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dad rode him a bit hard and then eventually he ended up finding him, you know, the right type of specialty coverage for the business. And so, go figure, about 10 years later, we had our first claim. And so...
Do you remember what that claim was?
In terms of the type of stuff that comes through a pawn shop, you know, we had a jewelry case or two, so it was
robbery. Yeah.
So, robbery claim, but, you know, they had all the right risk protection in place. Everything, big old safes, you know, the chain link fence that come down the...
Camera system, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But still, so they had a robbery, but at the end of the day... Had Bill not found the right coverage and gone through the right intermediaries to find it for him, who knows what happened to the family? You know, it was 15 years until we were really on our own footing there.
What was the loss?
You know what? All I know is that had they not had insurance coverage, the family would have been done. Yeah, so would have been done.
Can I tell y'all a story?
Sure.
Y'all like to hear stories.
Yep.
So from about 2010 to 2020, so 10 years, decade, I was a principal nationwide agent.
Yep.
And it wasn't until, I guess, 2017, 2018 that I really got into dipping my toe into excess and surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley and I, another commonality that he and I have is as brothers, we kind of stumbled our way through excess and surplus together. It was like, I remember calling Mike Fusco one day. This was only a three or four I guess 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm like, brother, teach me about this agency billing stuff, man. Uh-huh. I don't understand it. We keep screwing it up. I can't even read the damn commission reports they send me because at that time they look like Chinese.
Even if you know what you're doing, a lot of times they're
So it's muddled.
We got a $10,000 check from RPS. Then they didn't even tell me what it was for.
Happens.
I had to call and be like, "Is this a refund? Is this commission? Like, okay, it was a refund. Okay, well, what's the
That's probably recently, right? Like in the last year.
That was last week.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, about once I'm. Every two, 3 months, something like that.
I'd love to just put this in my bank account, but I'm suspecting this needs to go back to a finance company, and it did.
Exactly.
So this was about 2015, so it was way before I got into excess and surplus. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is you brought up a pawn shop and your dad's friend that was an insurance agent, and he at the time, that guy who you said was pretty slick guy, pretty smart, didn't really know much about it. But I got a call one day. I was over in our – at that time, we only had one agency office in Athens, Alabama. And this guy calls my office, and he's like, "Hey, Scott, my name's so-and-so, and I own a gun store in Athens. And, been having some trouble with my
New York agents have never heard that.
Been having some trouble with my insurance, and could you come by? I want to talk to you about putting my insurance with you." Well, I'm thinking at the time, again, guys, I didn't know anything about excess and surplus, but I'm thinking gun store, big premium, man, this might be a big account. So I load up, and I go up there to meet with him, and he's there, and I walk in, and we get to talking, and he says, I need to get some insurance on this gun store. We had a robbery over the weekend. And I've got the video back here in my office. Would you mind? You want to come back here and see it? Just kind of almost like braggadociously, like we got video cameras and I've put these bars up and all this. Well, the people, he shows me the video, and sure enough, two or three guys, all black ski mask, run a work truck, like a plumbing truck that has the side toolboxes and stuff on it, run it through his front door, jump out, start snatching guns, breaking glass, snatching guns, jump back in the truck. Well, obviously, I couldn't write that. And I didn't know anything about excess. This was 7-8 years ago. I didn't know anything about excess and surplus at the time either. So we don't write it. And to be honest with you, after that, I kind of forgot about him, and I forgot about the gun store. And then we started opening up other agencies, and now I'm not coming to Athens as much at all as I was every day. So fast forward to this last Friday, today's Monday, Friday. I am in Athens, Alabama, because I've started going back to that office on Fridays just to I started trying to go to more of my offices and make a showing and helping agents and account managers and doing those
things.
Who's
in Athens?
Harley's running Athens. Okay. And then we hired a new producer / account manager. Her name is Chelsea Barty. Shout out to Chelsea. Chelsea actually listens to the podcast, so she'll probably hear her name on the podcast. She'll like that. She's done a great job for us so far, and I think she's going to do a good job, but she's still in the kiddie pool. And I tell her that quite frequently. Chelsea, you don't even know what you don't know right now. But Harley and I go to lunch because her husband is one of my best friends, and he owns a huge towing company. Works wrecks all up and down I-65. Some of the stuff you see on the news where tanker trucks blow up. He's there to get he's got these wreckers that are the size of this building, it looks like. I mean, they're huge for pulling 18-wheelers out of 50-foot ravine, that kind of stuff. You're not hooking that up to an F-150. I mean, you got to have the right equipment. So Justin pulls up because I told Hart, I said, "Hey, tell my boyfriend I want to go to lunch with him." Picks us up. He said, "Where you going to go to lunch?" I said, "I don't care." I said, "You over here all the time. Just take me somewhere. I don't care." Harley's with us. Well, he starts driving, and he pulls up to the shopping center at a Mexican restaurant. And where that gun store was is now something else. It's like a card shop. And I get out of the Bronco. We were in a Bronco. It was new Bronco, four-door Broncos. And I said, "Hey, Justin, didn't there used to be a gun shop right there?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah. That guy's in federal prison. He got picked up by the feds. First of all."
Is he the one that robbed the gun store?
You're getting ahead of me.
Sorry.
First of all, old boy staged the robbery. That was staged. Second of all, you know how with like banking industry, if you steal money from a bank and stuff, it's like federal, it's like big deal. Well, apparently, if you own a gun store and you've got all these federal gun licenses and you start selling guns under the table, they don't look at that real brightly. Yeah, like, sure. They're like, man, that's bad. He was doing some of that. Mm. He got picked up on like 4 or 5 different charges, and he's doing like 20 years in federal prison.
Gosh.
And I was over there thinking I'm going to put his gun store with Nationwide Insurance like 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm sorry. I had to tell that story because you brought up the pawn shop, and I was that insurance agent. I'm like, yeah, sure, we can maybe sort of write that. I don't know, but we'll try.
Let's try to put it with State Farm.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I'm sorry.
No. Well, my guess is that guy probably ended up with one of the 3-letter agencies then. But yeah, I think you dodged a good bullet on that one.
Yeah.
Ba-doom-tsh.
1,000%.
But yeah, so that was sort of my positive disposition going into the industry was that, hey,
a good feeling about it.
Good feeling,
family kind of got saved in a way by insurance.
Very much. That was the family's livelihood. My mom worked at the store.
Yeah.
Dad worked at the store. My uncle worked at the store. I worked at the store on weekends. And so, knowing that insurance came in and saved the day. Now, go figure. 15 years later, the next time that, I might have some sort of way to participate in the industry. So I was working at Palantir at the time, which is a big technology company, but has a business development arm where you go out and you work with usually like the Fortune 500 type customers.
Sure.
So I had a couple different options on my plate, and one of them was a big insurance carrier.
Mm.
And so, I don't think everyone was leaping to go work for the carrier client, but I said, yeah, that, you know what? Insurance is great. Why not?
You had that affinity.
Yeah. And so then that was the, the next time where I went more than just dipping my toe in. Mm-hmm. I worked in the belly of one of the biggest carriers out there. Can't say which one.
Sure.
But, let's say I spent some time in London and Zurich. And but from there.
How was living in Zurich or visiting for a while?
It was expensive. But super pretty. I mean, if you can ever get out there for, if you're an outdoors person, whether it's Zurich or they got this one little.
That's Switzerland, right?
Yeah.
Zurich, Switzerland.
And so gorgeous mountains.
Yeah.
But, so for this project, though, I had 3 big takeaways after being there for about a year. One was that insurance was just a massive industry and not something that I could appreciate from the outside in. This is preaching to the choir here, but you look at the Fortune 500, there's a lot of names on there. How did Warren Buffett make all of his money?
The buildings, insurance. Every skyline in every big city, you see insurance names at the top.
Underappreciated. And that's something where it makes up something like 3% of GDP, but it doesn't necessarily get 3% of GDP type headlines everywhere.
Right.
But so anyway, number one was.
And by the way, for these insurance agents listening to this right now, I want to explain what he just said. Factual information that cannot be disputed. Warren Buffett built the behemoth that is Geico on the back of Berkshire Hathaway. He built Berkshire Hathaway on the back of Geico using the float. Customers pay premiums before they have claims. That money gets invested. He built Berkshire Hathaway off that float and making great, he and Charlie Munger making great decisions relative to investments that just snowballed into what became the behemoth that today is Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, 100%. And so that was something that I didn't really get to appreciate was the size and scale of the industry until actually setting foot.
Sure.
In it. The second thing was I loved it. The science behind insurance and risk pooling, risk management. Then also seeing really from the data perspective, insurance should be one of the most data-driven industries out there. And there's a lot of fun history we could talk about why in the 80s and in the 90s, it was the cream of the crop in terms of where tech was being invested. For a lot of reasons, it slowed down over the past couple decades after that, but you could see the potential in there.
Right.
And so I love the industry was number two. And then number three was really, the tech wasn't great at the time. And this was back in 2015.
Right.
But when insurtech wasn't even really coined a term yet.
Right.
The first couple insurtechs were the tech-enabled MGA, so like Lemonade, for example.
But we've been talking about them a lot.
Yeah. And so, and that's not quite as pretty of a story. But, in recap, big market.
Don't tell their you're gonna get them lemonade boys on you on Twitter, and then you're not gonna be able to come up for air. And Bradley and I'll have to come save you. It'll be a whole big thing.
Oh, boy. But it's okay.
Right, well, Scott, you're my muscle now. Synthesis. Yeah. But you know, so across those three, it led me to think. You know what? Whenever I'm ready to leave Palantir, insurance would be a place where I could potentially tilt my career. And so then, after that, went to Aon for about a year, trying to learn as much as possible about
the industry. Was that the goal? Was the goal, quote, well, did you go to Aon with the intention of doing something?
So I think the bigger thing was I didn't exactly know what angle I was going to take with it. You know,
you just knew there was something. This is a great learning experience.
And I think that, you know, there is a bit of a talent gap in the industry.
For sure.
And so anyone's willing to work hard, I think – for a lot of listeners of this podcast, you work hard in the insurance industry and you can make a good buck.
That was my exact ethos behind joining the industry. I was one weekend. I remember telling my dad, I was like, this is great. The competition's average and the harder I work, the more money I make.
Yeah.
So
that was about what I had with it and saying, you know what, if I have a little bit of a technology background, can I apply that to the industry and who knows what direction I'll take
it? And you'd seen some stuff. I mean, you'd been around some bit, carriers and you kind of were getting a flavor for it too.
Yep. And so then went to Aon and then I think, you know, I took my CPCU exams throughout the year there, learned some from that. And then really in the back part though, started to dig into excess and surplus, which, you know, Bradley and I were just talking about this before we started recording. The name collision in the industry is horrible.
Yeah.
So when we talk about excess and surplus, non-admitted insurance,
wholesalers, MGAs, and there's a large percentage of the agent force that because of the hard market, especially in areas where there's not a lot of E&S, are just now getting accustomed to those terms and what they mean. And a lot of them are going to have some of the same questions like Scott had.
Yeah. And so, you know, but started to dig into that part of the market and thought, you know what? There's got to be a better way. And so, you know, and I'll use my own definitions here, but, you know, for what Quote Well is and what we ended up building over the past couple of years is really a modern wholesale brokerage or a modern MGA.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, just to pick apart would be a very typical insurance transaction. You've got business owners that need insurance. You've got what I would refer to as a retail agency, or someone owning that customer relationship that helps identify the coverage needs for the business owner. And then in a more typical transaction, then you got the carrier on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But for a variety of reasons, sometimes independent agents need a secondary intermediary like an MGA to help place that business. And so Quote Well is a new generation version of that, where to our customers, you know, we are promising better service, better technology, and stronger relationships. And so we can unpack that a little bit more. But that was the early opportunity that we saw, was really making investments in those. And we think that, you know, so far we've done a pretty darn good job.
And the talk about a little bit, you know, we mentioned we had a call a couple weeks ago. You know, that relationship with that wholesaler, that MGA, is so important. And it's a different relationship. You know, if you get an appointment with Liberty Mutual, let's say, and you're dealing with that rep, that's a whole different relationship and conversation in terms of how you approach it than with an MGA or a wholesaler. It may be a little more in depth, you know what I mean? But talk about just sort of the importance of how to approach that MGA relationship.
Yeah. So I think there's probably two different ways that agents typically do. And I think one's definitely stronger than the other. One is really developing that partnership. And that's really what I think Quote Well's aim is, to be the strongest partner that we can be to our agency customers. And then on the flip side of that, you could say, listen, this is where I'm going to send all the submissions where, you know, I might not know the appetite of this wholesale brokerage, but, you know, I'll send it their way and I might get a quote back and I might send it to 10 different MGAs all at once.
Yeah.
And
which is that's a recipe for disaster.
That's a recipe for disaster and honestly, wasting time for all parties. Then you've got 10 different really long email threads that you're trying to juggle back and forth, ultimately to get one bind for your customer there.
Yeah.
So I think for Quote Well, for what we're trying to deliver right now, it is really developing that partnership across these different aspects. So for one, on the servicing side, really speed is the name of the game. You know, and you know, I'd flip it on you guys for a minute here. What do you think makes a great MGA.
Speed. Okay. Speed and communication.
Mm. All right.
The most frustrating thing, you know, we deal with RPS a good bit just because of where we're located, and you don't get speed and you don't get communication.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like either you've got to get it to me fast or you've got to communicate an expectation there. And I think with a lot of traditional large wholesalers, especially a lot of these agents that aren't dealing with wholesalers, right? And you go to an old school traditional wholesaler, they don't know you. You don't have a lot of business with them. You're sending in a PDF application that's going to the bottom of the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to work. I mean, we've got an underwriter we work with at a large wholesaler that puts us first. Yeah. And every underwriter, every wholesaler generally has those relationships. Mm-hmm. And so for us, for me, it's speed and communication.
Yep.
I'm okay with slow turnaround as long as there's an expectation set of when we're going to get it.
Great.
Excuse me. We probably have as much, if not more, excess and surplus business with a multitude of brokers across, you know, the RPSs, Gen Caps, and Wins, then we have standard business now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's flipped over the past few years, but that's just kind of where we are as an industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something somewhere, it was like a Big Eye magazine, it was a blurb that said that like in 2011, there was $17 billion of the insurance market was excess and surplus. And then in 2024, the projection is that it's going to be like $150 billion. That's how much this thing is flipped over from, you know,
the
standard.
The industry's going.
Correct.
And I think people, wholesalers and MGAs that operate in a more futuristic way are going to have the advantage because in order for that to be flipped like it is, it's got to feel like a direct appointment and not a intermediary. Here's an application and there's three humans involved. I mean, sometimes with some of these wholesalers, we're sending our applications to an underwriter.
And the underwriter's the middleman.
Who's sending it to an underwriter.
100%.
Who's then all they're doing is taking that information and punching it in a computer.
Right.
And it's like, how do we eliminate
the middleman?
These people.
And basically, and that's one of the, you know, I don't want to call it a secret, but one of the things that we're trying to accomplish with QuoteWell is trying to eliminate as much of back and forth as possible here. And a lot of that, you know, for, you know, on our side, we have a dedicated technology team or a dedicated InsurTech team internally. And 75% of the technology we're building is actually built for our own internal insurance team. Because that empowers us to actually provide better service and speed ultimately to the retail agent.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of what makes us a little bit different here, though, so it is that speed, it's the responsiveness, it's the expectation setting, which we've got data on that. We can see how long it takes for, if we're going ultimately to one of our carrier partners to respond, we can pass along that information to the retail agent and say, hey, it's going to take X number of days for that.
Well, it also helps you too because, and we track this probably not as well as you guys do, but we track turnaround time for a lot of our MGAs. And it helps you because if, say, a carrier comes to you at the end of the year and they're like, hey, we need more business from you guys. Yep. You're like, well,
it took
you 3 days longer than it did everybody else.
Yep.
And we've got to improve on this and you'll, by osmosis, get more.
Yep. And so absolutely true. And then, you know, on the other element where we can be faster is where we do have in-house binding authority as well.
Mm.
So that's something we've invested very heavily in, especially the back half past year.
That's how we win a lot of cases. So we're doing a lot of condo associations right now, which are hard everywhere. And we've got a relationship with a company that has in-house binding authority and we're able to move super fast.
Yep. And so that's really, you know, across like tenant number one, it is that speed, whether we do have that in-house binding authority or we're going to brokerage markets on the other side. And then the second part is, you know, I like to think of traditional wholesale as a black hole. You email someone and you don't know where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
You know, you're hoping for a response, you know, you're getting ghosted on a text, all that stuff. And so for us, for our in-house agency management system that we've built for basically collaboration across the team, we give a lens of that to all of our different retail agent customers so they can see the status of all the deals going through QuoteWell. So that as soon as we have an update, you get an update. And so,
is that kind of like a dashboard that they can get?
It's dashboard, you know. And this is
because there are a couple of large MGA brokers, whatever you want to call them, that to this day don't have a dashboard.
Well, no. There's no dashboard, and then there's also a big difference with what QuoteWell does. So, one line I think resonates with almost anyone who's touched some form of insurance technology over the past 10 years: self-service doesn't always mean easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, meaning we are not a rater. And so we will accept submissions like you would a traditional wholesale brokerage, meaning that you're probably going to email us. You're going to email us a court, supplementals, all that, because we don't want to have to make it any harder to do business with QuoteWell.
Right.
What we're doing on the back end, though, is really what enables our speed and service. So QuoteWell's invested in, and a lot of people talk about artificial intelligence in a way that it's blowing smoke up everyone's, yeah, you know what.
It's a chat bot.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, for QuoteWell, whenever you email submissions@quotewell.com, we will scrape that email body. We will scrape the documents. And we're going through and using different AI tooling to make sure that we're encoding all of these documents in advance so we can extract structured data from it. And so by the time you email within seconds of submissions@quotewell.com, we've got an idea of whether that submission's good to clear or not.
Right.
If we're missing something, we can automatically respond and say, here are the gaps we need based on the markets that we're going to suggest to go to on this. So all of this stuff where it's just data gathering back and forth, where that's not the best use of our team's time either.
Yeah.
But it's also giving you direction so you can get that deal moving faster as well.
I have a story of a really good win they got for me. So Aaron Robertson called me on my birthday and he said, hey, he said, I have a contractor that is doing business for Tesla and he needs insurance. Happy birthday. Click, and sends me the guy's number. So I call the guy and they needed the insurance so they could start production on the Cybertruck the next day. And this is Friday, I believe, and it's like 3:00. There's no wholesaler that's answering the phone. I mean, no. And they needed it today.
Yeah.
And so I called your cohort there. Your
Tom Brighton.
Tom. Yeah, yep. I called Tom. and these guys got it done for me in 20 minutes. We were able to get the policy issued. And I got to tell my wife that night the coolest thing I've ever said, which is I've got to issue this certificate real quick so Tesla can start on the Cybertruck tomorrow. But yeah, you guys came through for me in that pinch. And I think a lot of your technology and your resources and your investment in that back end is what allows you to do that.
Yep. Well,
you should send Elon to Twitter or an X or whatever the hell they call it.
I'm never going to call it X.
And say, I'm the reason you're producing the Cybertruck right now. So,
well, funny enough, it was in Austin and they're in Austin. And you guys have most of your business in Texas right now, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we're seeing about 80% of our business is in Texas. But then, you know.
But you do outside of Texas.
We do outside Texas as well.
So, how many states?
So we've got our licenses in, I believe, 45 states at this point.
Alabama?
We do have Alabama. I mean, we've got carrier contracts up and running there. But for us, we want to make sure that we can go in and really be one of your top trusted partnerships.
Yeah.
So while, you know, we're trying to push more business in our target states of definitely Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, then North Carolina as well. And then past that, we'll be opportunistic. You know, if we got a good relationship somewhere, we'll do what we can. But we're also making sure that if we've got someone coming in through our website or reaching out via one of our producers, we do have a wait list also to say, listen, we want to make sure we're starting the right foot. Maybe not right now, but we're going to get back to you as soon as we think that this is going to be productive.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the process? How daunting is the task when you're day one starting a wholesaler and you're going to these like massive carrier? Like how big of a lift is that?
You know what? It's something that a lot of things need to align for that first series of relationships. Yeah. And it really is a mix of proving how you're different.
Yeah.
And so
I'm sure a lot, especially now, like these guys and gals are hearing a lot of the same thing.
Well,
so you've got to do a really good job of differentiating yourself.
Differentiating. A lot of it is, you know, the technology that you come to bear.
Yeah.
So knowing that we're incentivized in the same direction, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of MGAs are privately owned or backed by private equity,
mm-hmm.
which you don't necessarily associate innovation with that.
Yeah.
We're venture backed. And so from our end, you know, our goals are to be the largest modern wholesale brokerage in the country. Yeah. And so saying, listen, this is going to be a multi-year relationship for, you know, these initial carrier conversations. And then we also approach doing business a bit differently. You know, I think something that we'll see from the carrier side is that they get a bunch of garbage applications going their way as well.
Mm-hmm. And so if the AI and the technology can mitigate that.
It can help filter. Exactly. And Zach, that's actually a really good application of it. And so yeah. Whenever we onboard a carrier customer, we're going through and modeling out the appetite so that the business we send their way is business that they ultimately want as well.
Sure. And that's probably music to their ears a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine too, it's a little bit like on the retail side. So like when we first started, I got that first really good carrier contract the day before we opened, and that one introduced me to it, led to another one, and then that one led to another one. And then all of a sudden it seems like the floodgates open.
Yep.
And you start, you know, getting a reputation and kind of building a little bit of buzz. Momentum, and they yep. probably start reaching out to you at some point.
And we've started to get that actually, the first handful.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I think these are especially looking at one of the bigger problems that's maybe unsaid in the specialty space is just the consolidation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think back in 2010, the big three wholesale brokerages maybe controlled 30% of the market. Now it's something like 75%. Yeah, on the next three big players, you're at 90%.
Yeah.
So a lot of these carriers are looking for additional ways to distribute their products as well. And so, and a lot of them are seeing QuoteWell as a potential solution.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of our focus though today, it has really been on the agency side and making sure.
And you guys only write through agents, right?
Only write through. We do not do direct.
I think you need to talk about that a little more.
Well, this is actually something that we heard from some agency customers, because we do have a handful of overlapping appointments, not many.
Sure.
There's actually, when we onboard an agency customer, we'll get that list so that it's up to them. We can basically exclude that from our search results or say, listen, you're actually better off going to this direct appointment, and we'll guide you that way.
Yeah,
right.
And so I don't know of another MGA that'll be as friendly to say.
So they're greedy and take that.
Yeah.
And this is like back, you know, we dealt with this. We put a lot with CoverWallet back in the day. And one of the problems with CoverWallet, and I know you used to work at Aon, so this is me saying this, not you. One of the problems with CoverWallet was when you put a submission in there, it submitted it to all of their carriers. You couldn't pick and choose like you can with like Tarmica or someone like that. And there was no help. It was all on you. And like, for example, we had a Liberty Mutual direct appointment. And if we submitted in CoverWallet first, we blocked ourselves out. And so we actually had a couple instances where we had to AOR a policy from ourself to ourself in order to bind it.
What is your appetite? Is it more of a general? I mean, that example that Bradley gave earlier about, you know, this guy in Texas needed this today. Mm. I mean, that's a exotic type risk. But for those agents out there thinking, well, you know, QuoteWell, I've already got all these MGAs and brokers and we've already got relationships, but they are probably interested in hearing kind of what you guys specialize in, so to speak, if
sure.
you want to say that. What Give us some insight on that.
Well, you know what? I'll break it down a little bit between our binding capability, which is some of that in-house faster turnaround, and then some of the brokerage markets.
Right.
And so on the brokerage side, we have some specialties there that are naturally going to gravitate a little bit more towards what we'd see in Texas. And so we'll see energy, a little bit upstream and midstream. Construction, definitely.
That was a contractor.
Yep. And then, some light manufacturing, and then a little bit of real estate on that side as well. And then on the binding side, you know, that tends to be more of the small commercial, but surplus lines business. And so we're super strong on contractors liability. And then we're also able to react to the market some there. So, you know, I think Nationwide pulled out of their daycare appetite. So we've seen some things from that angle. You know, another thing we're
getting. Lesser's risk.
We do LROs, vacant property. And then also, you know, a lot of that, it's easier for us to place also if we get the commercial package on it. So both, you know, we have some property aggregate. We're adding more of that in 2024.
Awesome.
But you know, especially on the liability side, you know, we can take that all day. And so, but one thing I think it's also important to note is that for how fast we're growing, even if we don't have the carrier to support you today, doesn't mean that's not going to change in 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. We've added 60 markets in the past year.
Wow.
And so now not all of those are strategic with us, but yeah, to the extent that we can react, and it's easier for us to go to carriers if we're seeing submission flow.
I'll say, hey, we're getting this.
We're getting this. You know, let's have a strategic conversation. But, you know, the two areas that I'd say we clearly do not do today, one is we don't have transportation up and running yet.
That's close there, right?
I'd say back half of the year is something that we're targeting there. And then we're not doing personal lines for the time being. But, you know, it's something that we've got in the back of our minds.
For sure. Talk a little bit about, if you can, you mentioned before we went on the air that you guys have a book extraction where you can look at current business on the books and say, hey, we'll have a good fit for this.
Yep. So that's actually something that, you know, I think it really is, it lets QuoteWall offer a high degree of service and really getting ahead of those expiration dates. So nearly everyone's agency management system, regardless of whether it's HawkSoft, Applied, AMS 360, can run a report of the deals that are going through another MGA or might be surplus lines. And so for us, we can take a very limited set of data from that and say, listen, do we think we have a home for it? Do we think this is something that we can do to support you? And that actually helps us proactively communicate our appetite in a way that's tailored to you.
Yeah.
And you know, if that's an extract that we can get from our agency customers, we're also willing to give a little bit more commission on those deals as well.
And that's, I mean, that's a win-win. I mean, if I've got, you know, $300,000 of premium with a wholesaler that's paying me 10% and I can get a bump with you guys and it's easier to service, which is really where your bump is.
Yep.
It's the cost of service, not the 1 or 2% that you're making on the side.
Everything. And that's where, if you can, and whether this is QuoteWell or if you're in a state that QuoteWell's not operating in yet, trying to consolidate some of those partnerships so you can go somewhere where you can trust them to get you a quick answer, even if it's yes or no real quick, then it lets you move on and prioritize your time.
Yeah. And you guys don't, you guys, because agents get real funny with like data extraction, you guys don't reach out to the customer at all. It's more identifying the risk and, okay, this is something we can look at.
And this is a report that you're providing us.
Yeah.
And so we'll help you make sure that you're getting the right extract there. But then from there, you can see within, and I don't know if we touched on this as much, but QuoteWell does have sort of a bi-channel approach where you've got access to our technology platform where you can see all the deal flows. Mm-hmm. You can see this the agency management extract as well. But then the easiest way to engage with us is just emailing.
Yeah.
So if you email submissions@quotewell.com, all that information is going to go in that same tech platform or the dashboard to see all in one spot.
I remembered the other cover wallet problem, the fact they sold direct consumer too.
Oh, yeah. No. So I think
that's something you guys should harp on. Like, you know, big fan of Openly, you know, it says on their website, we only sell through independent agents. I think that's something that you guys should be proud of and push on more because, I mean, there's so many MGAs that try to work around.
Of it. Yeah. We have none of that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, you know, I think maybe one of the only other points that we haven't talked about too much here, and Scott, I know you're a basketball guy, but most MGAs aren't incentivized to work well as a team together. If you were to take a look at basketball teams where you've got someone that they might be MVP, but they're not passing the ball.
Right.
Those teams lose.
Sure.
And so teams that have more assists win more games. The same applies to business.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, it is.
And so for us,
my son's baseball team is experiencing that right now. They're 4-9, and they have four kids who signed, you know, Division I scholarships.
Yep.
They got two many alphas.
They've got 15 seniors and 13 juniors. My son's a junior. And it almost feels like one baseball team that has two teams within the baseball team. And it's so hard to play together as a team when you've got, you know, this group over here that's going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And some of them have one foot out the door because they're senior and they're getting ready to go to college. And maybe they've already signed a scholarship with Ohio State. One of them has. And maybe their thoughts, and I don't blame them. I mean, maybe their thoughts are more on, look,
NIL money.
My shit's done. I'm ready to go, baby. I ain't got time for this bullshit. And then you've got these juniors over here that are working hard and getting playing time like my kid has. you know, he's in the starting lineup and he's replacing a senior, and they feel like they ought to be in that position, and so do their parents.
So that assist.
And so it's causing this tension that it limits how good they could be, you know?
And it really, and the same apply, the same lessons in sports apply to business. Mm. And so for us, the technology that we've built and the culture that we've built internally is to collaborate.
Right.
If someone is better suited because they are a specialist in one specific domain, we're going to route that specific deal to that person. Now, for a quote, well, every agency is still assigned a lead producer to develop that relationship with, because we believe that's important to make sure that as we cultivate these partnerships, you know somebody. Mm-hmm. That's the first person who you can text if you got an issue. But ultimately, it is a shared services model internally, so that one of the best things that we hear customer feedback-wise is that they've got to work with so many different people. Well, they've worked with Kate. Mm-hmm. They've worked with Clay. They worked with Robert. Everyone basically might touch Quotewell in some shape or form, or a different person internally, meaning you are getting the full team, which translates to better service.
Sure. Well, it's funny. So I posted a tweet a couple months ago. So we deal with this a lot on the coast. So we'll have I'll tell an actual story. So guy reached out to me. He's a real estate investor buying he's in another state. He's in like Illinois, buying a storage unit building here in Theodore, which is close to the water, South Mobile County. And he's like, I was like, okay, we can close it in 2 days. Classic story, closing in 2 days.
Right.
Either hasn't been able to obtain insurance, or the insurance quotes he's getting are, you know, knocking his performa out. And I was like, well, who have you submitted to? And he's like, everybody. I was like, well, that's your first problem. But the core of the problem is he went to his agent in Illinois, who saw nothing but a big, big premium, went to a wholesale broker, RPS, and that wholesale broker went to their underwriter. Guess what their underwriter saw? Big commission, submitted it to the markets they were familiar with, and was not able to get a quote. He comes to me, and we have a market with RPS because my underwriter is familiar with the coast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But all the markets are blocked, or the RPS is blocked because he went to RPS up there. And when in reality, what should have happened is the underwriter or even the retail agent up in Illinois should have realized, hey, I'm better suited to work with a coastal underwriter on this, give up some of the commission, but basically guarantee that we close it. And so I did this whole like expose. I'm like, look, if you're buying insurance in a very like a catastrophic region or a hot button area,
I do it
you've really got to work either A, with a retail agent in that area, or B, you've got to work with a wholesaler who specializes in that area or has somebody who does.
Well, and I think maybe two takeaways from that.
Well, and by the way, one of my agents sent Bradley. I don't want to write business either in a niche I don't understand or a location that I don't need to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't understand all the ins and outs, regional carriers on the coast. I mean, if it's a large apartment complex, sure, we can do that. But for the most part, I would much rather send another agent that I'm a friend with and say, hey, man, you know this situation a lot better than we do. Mm-hmm. Take it. Mm-hmm. I don't want any of the commission. I just want you to handle it and do it the right way. Now, what I don't want is 400 phone calls about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I send it to you, take it and handle it.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to steal.
No. But I think for the two takeaways are, one, working with traditional wholesalers, MGAs, can be a rat's nest in that.
Yeah.
We are trying to change that and make it more simple, consolidated. And then the second part is, you know, and this is where for Quotewell, we're being conscious where we're entering into markets. We want to make sure that we have that expertise on the underwriting side and on the production side, which, you know, I'll put in a quick shameless plug here. We are hiring, you know, for folks in Texas. If there's anyone.
And you're appointing. For,
what positions are you hiring for?
So for underwriters internally, as well as for.
Producers. I think I'd be a fantastic underwriter. I'd just let everything go through. I'd be like. Yeah, we can do that. Come on, send it
we
over.
We started up. Scott created a fake agency. Scott created a fake agency on the podcast a few years ago called Death Machine Insurance, where they only did stuff that was impossible to insure.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know those electronic bulls you see in bars in Texas. Yeah. We write those.
Like gun stores. So gun stores. I got some t-shirts made as a joke that said Death Machine Insurance. Yeah. Matter of fact, Matt Namoli, it was his birthday last week, and I didn't have anything to send him, so he got a Death Machine Insurance shirt.
All we write is stuff nobody else writes. You got a rocket? We'll insure a rocket.
We're going to go out of business in 14 months, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean,
our premiums are like $7.8 million a policy.
It's like we're like the Guns N' Roses of insurance. It's going to be great for a few years, and it's just going to catch on fire. Yeah. In fact, I'm not
bankruptcy.
So in closing, you know, anybody listening to this, if they want to work with QuoteWell, where do they hit you up at?
So go to our website, www.quotewell.com.
And then, are you one of these? What I like, here's what I like when I look at a new wholesaler. I like to be able to send them a submission before we go through all of the song and dance. The point. Are you guys open to that?
So we are. And that's actually something that if you go through the website, mm-hmm. It's an easy onboarding process.
Yeah.
You fill in the basic information to get appointed with QuoteWell. But if you have that risk you want to get done, then you can always email that to submissions@quotewell.com.
Right. Now, and Johnny will put that in the show notes.
Yep. And the only thing I'll put the asterisk on there is that, just like you said, if you're going to send us the mechanical bull with guns strapped onto it as the risk to try and place, it might be a little bit hard for us.
The guy who runs the gun shop owns the mechanical bull.
Yep. And so, pulling out that bottom drawer submission might not always be the easiest way to kickstart a relationship. Yeah. But to the extent that, you want to give it a new go because you're frustrated with the service.
Sure.
Existing MGA or wholesale.
Or if you have a renewal, you're having trouble getting a response on. I mean, these wholesalers now, man. I mean, we had a customer, a large hotel client that we sold on the fact a couple years ago. We sold him on the fact that we found out through the grapevine that his current agent had his renewal for 45 days,
mm-hmm.
and it was 15 days prior to renewal, and he was telling him he didn't have it yet. He was playing that game.
Yep.
And it just so happened one of our people met the right person at a baseball game that they let it slip that, they had the renewal.
Oh, yep.
Boy. So nobody told me not to use that information. Well, now he renewed yesterday. Friday. He renewed Friday, and we got the renewal 2 weeks out. But we actually got it 2 weeks out. So like these renewal turnaround times. So if you have a renewal you're struggling with, assuming they can shoot it your way.
Shoot it our way. And then, we do love to, as much as we will work on that first mission that comes through, we think the best way to start that partnership is, we will grab probably 15, 20 minutes of your time. We'll meet with, the agency principal, the CSRs, talk a little bit about QuoteWell and our appetite, and make sure that really it is bound to be, hopefully we can work our way to be your number one trading partner.
Awesome. Scott, you want to close this out?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I got one quick thing before closing out, actually. Any good MGA, I've got some swag for you here. Oh, okay. So you've got QuoteWell Notebook, QuoteWell Koozie, QuoteWell Water Bottle. We got, we're not sponsored by Yeti yet, but you got some good Yetis here.
Nice.
And then white golf glove service. Here's a golf glove.
That's awesome.
All righty. Well, thank you, gents, for having me
I'm
here.
I'm going to wear this at my
Joey, desk. Thank you so much for being on here with us. Guys, listen, I tell you all the time, I don't care what you do, but we've got a lot of great guests on this podcast. You owe it to yourself and your agency. I'm not telling you to use QuoteWell. All I'm saying is go give them a shot. Let them earn your business. And if they do a great job for you and they do what they say they're going to do.
I'm putting my white glove on.
Yahtzee. Yahtzee. You got another great carrier partner, supplier for your excess and surplus lines business. Now, before we go, Joey, thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to having dinner with you tonight. I got questions and you got answers. Right. More than just the podcast. But before we go, I want to say a special thank you to my boy Mason here over here, been running the keyboard for us today, been running the podcast for us today. Let me tell y'all something. We ought to have Mason on the podcast because this man right here comes from first team All-American family of entrepreneurs. Bradley Flowers said it at lunch. Mason's uncle, is it Nate? Is that right? Might be the most purest entrepreneur that Bradley Flowers knows. And Bradley, a lot of entrepreneurs. Mason, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you being here today. I really do.
Mason doesn't have a mic, but he said thanks.
That's okay.
Also, that's right. And then, gents, thanks for having me here.
Absolutely.
Also be in person, too.
Shoot, anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.